This last week of Advent brings us really to the center point. We've been, for the last 3 weeks, talking about the Mass, and today we enter into really the central aspect of the Mass. It's said that the Mass is the highest prayer that we have as Catholic Christians. Well, it is the offertory and the consecration that are central to the Mass. The sacrifice of the Mass. I think oftentimes we think of sacrifice, and for the most part, I think our minds probably go to Lent, at least when we talk about it liturgically. What am I going to offer up? What am I going to give up? Might be candy or pop, ice cream, beer. I know one year I gave up coffee, and I was told by my staff, I was up in Chippewa Falls, Father, this isn't a good idea. You should not give up coffee. Maybe we're going to give up beets or watermelon, whatever it might be. Maybe I'm going to do something instead of offering something up. I'm going to change. I'm going to make visits. I'm going to put some demands on my time. But in and of themselves, none of these are acceptable to God. They're only acceptable to God when they come from the heart, when they become a true sacrifice. So if you want to know what that is, we read our first reading tonight, or this morning, was from Micah. If we continue reading from Micah, we will come to Micah chapter 6, where it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is a true sacrifice. Because it is not something external, it is internal. It is our heart. It is to love Him by doing good for others. And this is what He desires. This is the sacrifice that Jesus offered to God upon His cross, His very heart. And that sacred heart is central to our celebration of our Mass. In sacred Scripture, God makes it clear what He desires. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In fact, when Saul was at war with Amalek, when you read the story in sacred Scriptures, it's a tough one to read because God gave Saul very clear instructions. Wipe them out. All of them. All of their possessions, all of their livestock, and all of his family. And Saul goes to war, and he defeats Amalek. But he looks around and he sees, oh, these little gold trinkets are really nice. These little silver trinkets are really nice. I can take them and offer them to God. Well, in reality, he just wanted to take them and use them. Look at these animals. These animals, I can offer them in sacrifice to God. And he allowed some of the people, some of Amalek's descendants to live. And for that act of disobedience, the kingdom was taken from Saul and given to God's servant David. We see in Psalm 50, God asks, Do I eat the flesh of bulls? Do I drink the blood of he-goats? Offer praise as your sacrifice to God. Jesus himself is criticized by the Pharisees. When he selects Matthew, he takes this public sinner to be one of his closest followers, one of his apostles. And then Matthew comes and follows Jesus, and he throws a big party, and he invites Jesus, and Jesus comes, and he eats with them, and he drinks with them, and he is criticized by the Pharisees. What's this guy doing? Eating and drinking with sinners in public. But Jesus responds to them because he reads their hearts, he knows what they're thinking. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The sense of sacrifice gives new meaning to what we offer up during Lent. And it should give new meaning to what we bring to each and every sacrifice of the Mass. God desires the hearts of His beloved sons and daughters. I know I've mentioned it a time or two, but it kind of wraps this up. There's a sign on the wall of one of my spiritual directors when I was in formation. God alone, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And that is a tough one to live by, but that is our sacrifice. That is what we are called to place into the collection plate. What we place into the paten and into the chalice, Yes, our donation of money is important. We need it to be able to run the parish. We know that, to run our school. We need the bread and the wine because they are the conduit that become the body and the blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ with the words of consecration. But these mean nothing if they do not come from the heart. This is why Jesus says about the widow, after watching her put in 2 cents into the treasury of the temple, and he sees all of these others coming in and making a big show and dumping in large amounts, and Jesus tells the disciples, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others because she gave in humility from her sustenance. She gave from her heart, not her surplus. True sacrifice is not about destruction. It's not about self-denial. It's about growing in love. It's about being transformed in love by the God who is love himself. It's about placing myself upon that paten. It's about placing myself into that cup. Not only the external facts of who I am, but all of my internal, my emotions, my feelings, personally, professionally, my hopes and my dreams, what I am suffering in this moment, and what I am experiencing joy. All the desires I have for myself, all the desires I have for my loved ones. It's more than words can communicate. It's my very being. And that is what God desires, and that is what we place upon the altar. And then the priest takes these offerings, and he lifts them up, along with the gift of bread and wine, taking all of our individual intentions, our individual prayers, and bringing them into a public worship. We see this when we prepare the wine for sacrifice. The wine represents Christ's divinity, and then that little bit of water, that drop of water that we put in, that's humanity. That's our offerings, our sacrifices. But they blend, and we offer them up together. And when God looks down and he sees that, he sees the offering of Christ and all of ours united with his. There's no difference between our offering and Christ's offerings in his eyes. The same can be said with the bread. How many grains of wheat does it take to make that loaf of bread? How many sacrifices does it take? But then it's all united together with the leaven that symbolizes Christ, binding it together, becoming one sacrifice, offered in your name by a ministerial priest. So we need to see the differences between the ministerial priest and the priesthood of our baptism, because every one of us is baptized to be a priest, prophet, and king. We are all called to be priests. To be a priest is to be a bridge builder. And we need that because there's this great chasm between heaven and earth, between humanity and divinity, one that grew even deeper when sin entered into the world. So we see in the Old Testament so many priests, even a whole heritage line, the Levi family, were all priests. We see Melchizedek, who was without father, without mother, without beginning, without end. We see Abraham and Moses and David. We see Elijah, Elisha, Naomi, Ruth. We see Micah. We see John the Baptist. All are priests. All are bridge builders. But none of them could definitively span that chasm. For that, we need more. We need Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who has become man. He is the bridge builder par excellence, standing in the breach between God and man, forming that bridge to heaven. His offering, his suffering, his sacrificial death, his resurrection and ascension into heaven. This is the heart of our Mass. Sacred Heart is that bridge that we cross over at every Mass from this world into eternity. During the Eucharistic prayer, no matter which one is prayed, it is like a great drawbridge is dropped down, allowing us to cross over. And Jesus is the only one who could build this bridge, fitting perfectly with one foot planted firmly in heaven and one foot planted firmly on the earth. His cross is his altar, the vertical shaft rooted in the ground, reaching to the heavens, the horizontal shaft embracing all of humanity. These two cross over through the heart. We see that the baptismal priesthood is not enough. We need the ministerial priesthood so that we can enter into the mystery. There is only one priest, and that is Jesus Christ. As ministerial priests, we are conformed to Him in a special way at our ordination. We take a special share in His priesthood. This is why we pray in the consecration, "This is my body. This is my blood." We don't say, "This is Christ's body. This is Christ's blood. This symbolizes Christ's body. This symbolizes..." No. Because in the act of the consecration, we are most intimately united with the person of Christ, becoming altar Christus at our ordination. And so we say His words as ministerial priests, "This is my body." Together, we make this sacrifice acceptable to God. One of the most important prayers that the congregation has in the Mass is at the conclusion of the doxology, the conclusion of the Eucharistic prayer, "Through Him, with Him, in Him." That great amen at the conclusion of that prayer. That is your assent. I know people have asked me, you know, when does the bread become His body? When does the blood become His blood, or the wine become His blood? When does this happen? Well, it's not magic. It happens as a result of our prayer, coming together, our offerings, and then with the congregation's great amen, putting your stamp of approval on everything that was just prayed through the priest. As St. Leo the Great tells us, "For all regenerated in Christ are consecrated priests, so that beyond the special services of ordained priests, all spiritual and mature Christians know they are sharers in the office of the priesthood of Christ. For what is more priestly than to offer God a pure conscience and to offer Him in love an unblemished heart on the altar of one's heart?" Sacrifices are in need of priests, and priests need sacrifices. The ministerial priest to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, uniting all of our hearts with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, opening that drawbridge, dropping down between humanity and divinity, between heaven and earth, and allowing the baptismal priesthood to come and offer their sacrifices as one, so that together we may pray to do this in memory of me, offering our hearts in sacrifice so that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God.
Please check the bulletin for the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day Mass schedule. There will be no weekday Masses this week. Scrip will be sold after Mass.
So the only weekday Masses after Christmas will be funeral Masses, and so we have right now the Mass for Dr. Mike Garrity will be here at St. John's on Friday at 11 o'clock. Please remember to take a book. If you've not gotten one, if you have family members from who will be going home after Christmas, or to get them a book as well. They're here to be read, and they're here, so hopefully they're discussed and passed around amongst families so that we can, as I said, change our hearts, because it is only by changing our hearts that we're going to change the heart of the church. We're going to change the heart of the world, but it has to start with each one of us individually. And so also, someone brought to me a story. He said there's a priest, won't mention where, not in our diocese, but he was discouraging people from coming to the 5 o'clock Mass. I'm not going to do that. We know that the Christmas Mass is the 5 o'clock is going to be packed, right? We're going to have chairs up. It's going to be plumb full. 5:30 is going to be full. They both get done at about the same time. The 10 o'clock is going to have a good crowd, and the 9 o'clock in the morning is going to be a full crowd again. So instead of encouraging you not to come to the 5 o'clock, I'm going to encourage you to bring somebody with you. Offer an invitation to somebody that's not been for a while. Bring them and challenge me to have a fifth Christmas Mass. That would be beautiful.